I'm Elizabeth Michael for TR Consulting, and you're listening to The Road to 1000. Now, let's talk about SMART goals and book covers. I think that for large swaths of my life, I have had two tendencies. I've had an avid interest in science and how people work and think and ideas and why we come to form certain ideas and not others. That whole thing is one thing. I've been very interested in all of that for as long as I can remember. I kept asking myself, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we do that all the time? And then I realized that, oh, you can actually become a psychologist and ask those questions professionally. And then there's this other thing that has annoyed me to no end for as long as I can remember, and that's the fact that I have had trouble reaching my goals. And it's been very difficult to try to grapple with. I'm very frustrating and annoying because I know I have a lot of great ideas, but I just can't, you know, I couldn't get to the finish line with them, and I didn't know why. And so that started becoming an interest, you know, why does that happen? What sort of thought processes and what sort of patterns prevent me from getting from where I am to where I want to go? And I have poured years into figuring this out, along with years into figuring out how people in general work. And all of that has culminated in me actually being able to reach all kinds of goals, but they have to be tailored to me and my situation, and me actually learning quite a bit about what make other people tick, what makes other people tick, and what prevents them from reaching their goals. Because I've realized, you know, once you stop being, you know, as self-focused as you are in your late teens, when I first started grappling with this problem of mine, once you stop being so self-obsessed as you are then, and you look up, you realize that, wow, there are so many people who are precisely in the same situation as me when it comes to goals. Because if you really zoom out on the goal thing, you know, you go from, oh, I want to start this new hobby, I want to start a business, I want to learn painting, I want to learn a language, and I want to do this and that, or I want to stop smoking, or I want to get in shape, and la la la. And eventually you realize that, okay, well, in one way, you can look at therapy and any sort of personal change as a goal that needs to be reached, and something's preventing you from reaching that goal. You have some sort of difficulty that keeps you locked in the status quo. And and once I realized that, I saw that, you know, there are these same patterns happening over and over that prevent people from making that happen. And once I realized that, I really hit the books and I started reading up a lot on goal setting theory, and I started reading up a lot on behavior change, and I started reading up on productivity and the sort of ideas that, you know, the ideas that sort of encapsulate the idea of productivity and leaving your mark and reaching your goals and finding your passion and all of that, and how that affects us, and sort of all these morals around it that really charges the situation emotionally and makes it very hard to view it objectively. We moralize so much about doing what we wish we'd be able to do at the same time as we struggle with it immensely. And you know, once I'd analyzed that for quite a while, I started, you know, as I advanced in my psychology program, I started trying it out on clients, and I started seeing, okay, this works and this doesn't work. And if you explain it like that, it won't work. And if you explain it like that, it will work. and things of that nature. So I started experimenting not just on myself, as I had been doing for years, but I started experimenting on other people as well. Of course, with I'm obviously theoretically informed, but I still, you know, you still have to try out exactly what sort of approach that is effective on other people, especially in relation to you, because you're not going to be a blank slate as a therapist. You gotta find your style, if you will. And once I'd done that, I realized that, wow, this is the sort of information that I wish was out there. And I know that there's a lot of information out there on goal setting, but there are certain pieces of information that I find is lacking and that I personally wish that I'd be able to find, but I can't find it. And I can find parts of it in different books, but I don't see any book that's putting it all into one place. And that's the type of books that I want to be writing. And so the whole idea about the Make It Happen series was formed. I wanted to write a series of books that took you through the goal setup, that helped you set things up with respect to your own temperament and your brain and your habits and patterns and all of that, and that then helped you get into the nitty-gritty of things, that, you know, actually get into the trenches of goal reaching. Because, you know, we have this beautiful plan of what we think that it will be like to try and work towards a goal, and then we hit reality, or rather reality hits us smack dab in the face, and then we realize that, okay, it's gonna be nothing like I expected it to be. And That's the kind of goal-reaching book that I want to be writing as well. I want to be writing this sort of goal-reacher's field guide, where you don't just get what you want to happen, but you get what likely will happen. You get all of these annoying traps laid out for you, along with the techniques you'll need to fix them, essentially. So it's not going to be this fancy academic text. It's going to be a real, you know, rough and tumble play sort of guide that gets you through the muck, that actually gets you across the finish line, even if you have to drag yourself kicking and screaming. And finally, I want to write a book that helps you find your goal if you're unsure about it, because there are a lot of people who, you know, they feel like they want a greater purpose, they feel a need for that sense of purpose, but they don't know how to apply themselves, and they don't know what to apply themselves to. And so that's the final third book I want to write. And then I want to create, or well, I wanted to create a planner that puts all of that into practice. So what do you do with all that theory? Well, you can get that planner to help you just apply it all systematically, so that you have plenty of time to actually practice implementing the techniques and not just read about them and then forget about them. And, you know, this is precisely the sort of series that I wish I would have run into years ago. And now I want to be writing it. And I wish I could do this in a course, but I don't think that's the best way forward right now. I still think the books are better, but there are limitations with books. The problem with it is that most of these techniques, it's not enough to just get a surface level intellectual grasp of the ideas. You actually have to integrate them deeply into your psyche, so that when you see a certain phenomenon unfold, you'll immediately think, ah, that's that happening. And, you know, you won't get to that level of integration unless you really engage with the ideas. And books aren't really a superb way of doing that, unless you write really long books that people just might get annoyed with because they never get to the point, you know, because the examples are endless. But, you know, you still have to engage with the ideas somehow. So that's a fundamental problem with that a book can try and solve in different ways, but the solution will tend to be imperfect. Second problem with books is that, you know, even if you have a deep integration of concepts, you still have to learn a lot of techniques. For instance, let's take an example. If you find yourself procrastinating, in the very moment that you're procrastinating, it doesn't help how deeply you've ingrained various theoretical concepts around how you should quit procrastinating. What matters is that you know precisely what to do technique-wise and that you implement that technique immediately. You know, you have to be sort of like a, well, I think of a samurai, you know, just able to swing your sword right when it matters. At a moment's notice, intuitively. That's the level you have to get to of you know, technique application. It doesn't help that you know how to play football theoretically if you just can't kick the ball, is the point. And so a book can teach you that either. You'll have to actually practice these techniques, and you'll have to practice these techniques while you attempt to reach your goals. And that's gonna be a gritty process. There's no way around that. And you know, for that reason, I wish you could create the sort of course where you would actually be prevented from progressing in the course unless you've learned a certain technique. So you'd have to somehow, you know, have some sort of exam, a practical exam or something, where you'd see that, yes, I actually do, in fact, know how to implement this technique, and I can do so immediately. And then you can progress further along in the course. But, you know, I don't think IFIC offers that alternative, so books are definitely the second best option in that regard. The thing is, when I first published my planner and the Smart Goal workbook, I was thinking, okay, I just need to get these books out of my system, because there are 1,000 things that you'll do when you publish. And if you attempt to do them perfectly at your first goal, you'll never publish, because there's just so much that goes into it, and there's so much nuance, and there are all these little details that you have to figure out, and it's complex, and it's, you know, it's a lot. And so I decided, okay, never mind that. I'm just gonna go ahead and publish them, and then I'll figure out the rest later. I'll learn as I go. And, you know, I published and all of that, and once the dust settled and I got my author copies, I realized that, okay, I think I'm very happy about the fact that I did this, because it enabled me to actually get started. But I have a problem. I have a whole lot of problems. When I flipped through my author copies, I realized that the margins were off. There were problems with the formatting that I wasn't even aware of. And there were these sort of errors in flow, and you know, I wanted the text to come off another way, and I felt like I had too much information in the planner, and so on and so forth, and I just felt like this isn't gonna work, you know. I thought, or well, it obviously works sort of, kind of, but it's not what I had in mind. And I thought, okay, I could do better, so I will. Oh boy. I did go ahead and rewrite both products, essentially. I rewrote all the information in the planner, and I reformatted it, and I designed a new cover. I designed endless covers for the Smart Goal workbook as well, and rewrote the text. And it's been a lot, but I've been able to get through it. But for some reason, the last frontier were the covers. Because here's the deal, when you publish on Amazon, you are competing with innumerable others that also produce books that are roughly the same topic. And if you don't look unique or stand out in some way, there is no way that people are gonna take a chance on your product. And I thought that when I looked at my covers, they were all right. I don't think they were horrible. Well, my girlfriend thought that they were horrible, but I didn't think they were horrible. I thought they looked good. She liked the Smart Goal workbook, but not the planner. But I realized that, you know, if I was a person who didn't know what I'm about and who was just browsing through Amazon, odds are I wasn't going to click on that. I would click on either some flashy cover or some really convincing blurb, you know, book description, or I would just go with an author that I'd heard of before. You know, the Tony Robbinses of the world, what have you. And I decided that, okay, what I can do about that is I can create really eye-catching covers, you know, that will actually drive sales. And, you know, that's what I thought in theory, but I also realized that, you know, I'm not competent to design book covers, and so I would have to get someone to do it for me, and I thought that would be fairly straightforward. I was hoping. Turns out it isn't. I went to Fiverr. Fiverr is this freelancing platform where you'll be able to get all kinds of gigs. It's going to be all sorts of things, but obviously I was looking into everything that pertains to publishing, and among other things, I got a bunch of designers to try and design some eye-catching book covers for me, and let me tell you, the results were varying, to say the least. I mean, I thought I was bad at book covers, but then again, I paid them next to nothing because I don't have any budget yet. I have yet another year ahead of me of not being able to pay them, compensate them fairly. So I didn't really feel like I was in a position to complain when I'm paying so little. And the very last designer that I had made a really, really beautiful image that I was, you know, really, you know, sucked in by. It looked great, but he had really subpar typography, in my opinion. It was just the title was placed awkwardly, the description was placed awkwardly, everything was a mess in that regard, and it just felt like, well, I don't know, I don't want to say that he's not, you know, he's not up to the task, because he had really beautiful covers in his gallery, but for some reason, maybe he didn't have the time or something, but he didn't figure it out at any rate. And I mean, I tried it because he was really polite and flexible and was ready to revise the project, but those revisions ended up taking forever. They took forever to make it. It would, you know, a week would go by when I said move that title over there, or just remove the text and change that path in that direction. And, you know, I didn't ask of him any complex revisions. They were fairly straightforward, and it still took over a week. And I just, you know, I was already at my wit's end with the covers, because I had already tried to design new ones myself, I don't know how many times. And so I decided, no, okay, I'm gonna do this myself. Just send over the image. And he did. He was really sweet about that. He sent over the cover image and even gave me the source file, even though that wasn't part of the project. And then I decided to bite the bullet and download Affinity Designer. And you know, like with my other program that I'm using, this gave me more design capabilities, because Affinity Designer is like Illustrator, essentially. It's a vector editor. So it's like Photoshop, but instead of pixels, you get these mathematical pathways that sort of make out the shapes that you create in your document. And so what that means is that you'll get these crisp, beautiful images, no matter how much you zoom into them, and they can be scaled in any which direction, and they'll still look brilliant. And I really like the look of vector illustrations, and so I thought, well, if I'm gonna be sitting here doing this, I might as well get a vector program so that I can enjoy the process. And I downloaded the Affinity Designer trial and started playing around, and the pen tool was a nightmare. But after, you know, five or so initial trial covers that you can view on my blog if you are so inclined, by the way, I felt confident enough that I'd be able to create something that was, you know, at least decent, and I decided to get to it. And as of yesterday, I can say with great satisfaction, mind you, that I managed to create two covers that look good enough that I think that they'll be able to drive sales. It's worth putting out of money into them, essentially. And you have no idea how satisfying that is after all of this work. But finally, you know, and I feel kind of like a clumsy youth or something attempting to do this, because like half of the time everything goes wrong and I can't understand why, you know, because I don't know enough design theory to know why the colors are off and things of that nature. And half the time I feel like, oh, that looked brilliant. Now how can I, you know, how can I create a composition that complements that one thing that I did well? And so it's been a struggle. But now they're done and I'm not going to touch them. I swear, I'm not going to touch them unless there is some sort of, you know, anniversary edition, or my readers ask me to write a new edition for whatever reason. Unless that happens, I'm not touching those covers again. They're done. I've learned my lesson. And speaking of lessons, this really truly is a crucial pattern to me previously not being able to finish with my goals. It's that I, you know, once I've done something, I've created something, I take a look at it and I go, oh, this could have been better. Actually, I'll go in and fix this. And I do that so many times, you know, to the point where it just becomes absurd. And I simply remove them. I just remove the final product. And so I end up at square one again. And that's a primary reason that I haven't been able to do what I wanted to do in the past. And, you know, obviously I've worked on those patterns, so I've gotten much better. But obviously, evidently, it's still a problem that haunts me to this day. And it's difficult because, you know, I had the choice of, you know, do I fix these covers and do I fix the interior and, you know, the content so that I feel proud of it and so that I can feel confident about my readers checking out these books and building their relationship with me based on these products. Do I change it to that point, or do I hit the ground running and just create a bunch of subpar books in the beginning that just teach me the craft, and then once I get to a certain level, I start, you know, properly going through each book and making them the labor of love that I want them to be. And I think that's a difficult choice, because even if I do my best right now, it's still not going to be as I want it to be, because I'm simply new at it. I don't have the skills yet. I'm working on it, but I don't have the skills yet. And so I'm constantly walking the line and never feeling fully satisfied. But I've decided to create a system that will prevent me from going back to edit things so that it doesn't keep happening. I'll simply have to sit with problems if they occur in the future, because I can't keep going back looking over covers. I think that, you know, by now I've gotten to a point where, you know, my books aren't perfect, but I think that they're getting to a point where they're good enough that I can just let them sit there and not feel bad about them. If they have the occasional mistake, it's fine. People will have to get over it. I'll have to get over it. Above all, they're going to be good enough that I'm confident that I'm delivering a product that will make an immense difference in people's lives if they choose to get it. And that's good enough for me. Oh boy, that was a whole journey. But that's all I had for you today, actually. It's time to sign off. So, if you'd like to hear more about what I do, you can head over to thoughtreview.org. I'll put the link in the description. Otherwise, it's been great that you checked in. This has been Elizabeth Michael for TR Coaching, and I'll catch you later.